And we are live. Man, what's going on, babe? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing so
I'm
good.
still a little
Let's see,
hurt.
we're waiting for
And
our
we
thing. Oh, here
are.
we go. Man, you guys heard some reverb there. Man, I'm so excited for you guys to be joining us tonight. Welcome to Conspiracy Theory Thursday. My name is Seth.
Hi.
And this is my lovely, beautiful wife, Brittany. Oh, it's so good to have you on here, babe. Man, dude, we got an exciting show for you. Holy smokes. It's going to be very conspiratorial.
As Evan said, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
That's right, because tonight's topic is what?
They're doing what under the
That's right. Well, so what are they doing underneath there? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out. But tonight, guys, last week I forgot to start how we normally start.
Yeah.
And we normally,
Remember, it was because we were fighting.
yeah,
Everyone was a little off their game
yeah, we were
last
a little on edge because we
week.
were fighting, and that's something you're gonna come to realize about us, guys, is we're super authentic, super real in our relationship, and sometimes it's really hard, and we wear our hearts on our sleeves. So,
Yeah.
we apologize for any awkwardness that occurred last week, but we're so glad that you guys decided to come back. But that being said, we usually start these before we join the Daily Renegade. We were starting all of them with scripture. And we're Bible-believing Christians. And so that's our worldview. We approach the world through a biblical lens. And so we like to start that looking at anything through a biblical worldview because our relationship with Jesus is what dictates how we see the world. And
Yeah.
so the scripture that we usually start with is Psalm 2, and I'm going to read it and then I'll explain why I usually start with this. And so Psalm 2 says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" And so we use this as our kind of show verse. And the reason
Yeah.
that we do that is because of the title of our show, really. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Now, when you mention conspiracies, you kind of get this crazy look in your at you. You know, you're wearing the tinfoil hat and all this and that. But we're conspiracy factualists.
Yep.
And so we don't.
Facts.
We are based on facts. We are based on documented evidence. And tonight we're going to be evaluating some of that. And the reason that we start with this, though, is because of the first verse. It says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain?" And that plot in vain is actually the Hebrew word haggah. And it's interesting that if you study that, because the meaning behind that is actually conspire.
Oh,
Why
wow.
do the kings and the people conspire against the Lord and against his anointed? So, from a biblical worldview, we know that there's a conspiracy going on. There
Yeah.
is a there's a conspiracy against those who would call themselves Christians, and there's a conspiracy against the Lord himself.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, and so that's why we start with that, because the Bible mentions conspiracy. And you know, conspiracy was actually, you know, conspiracy theorists was a term developed by the CIA in the 1967 to make us seem like lunatics who were looking into what they were doing. And so they developed this kind of as a disinformation, misinformation thing. But the Bible talks about it, and anything can be a conspiracy. You know, we as a as you know, society is relationships. You conspire against each other when you don't tell each other the truth, or
Yeah.
when you do, when you're not honest. Like, that's a conspiracy, a
When
minor
I think
one, but
about
it's
that
still there.
word conspiring, I'm just like, it's like sneaky.
Yeah.
Sneaky. Just like our 2-year-old's being right now that just climbed out of his bed. So I'm gonna go
Yeah.
put him back in, guys.
Yep. So I'm going to continue. And it's interesting, if you do a word study on that word Haggah, the first time it's used is an interesting place. It's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." And that word meditate is the same word that's used in Psalm 2 for people plotting in vain. So what we see there is that these people are meditating day and night on how to conspire against the Lord, how to tear us down as Christians. And so that's why we start off like that. And so we like to start off with scripture just for that. So now we're going to get into the topic. And so tonight's topic is What again?
Oh, I'm just in time. They're doing what under the Denver International Airport?
That's right. And so last week, we kind of mentioned this, that we were going to be talking about DIA and some of the conspiracies that are going on there. And if you guys do a search, you'll come across a lot of information, a lot of weird stuff, a lot conspiracy-based information. Yeah. And so we kind of wanted to address that tonight, give you guys our feedback, what we think about it. So where to begin?
Dun, dun, dun. Well, how about we start with like the airport itself? Like, when was it built? How did it come about?
Yep.
All that good stuff.
Okay. So
it was built in 1995, right?
No. Yes. You're right.
Yeah. You guys, he just tried to like fact check me. Did you see him?
You are fake news. No,
you are fake news.
For some reason, I had 55 in my mind, so I was thinking 1955, nope, but it's not.
1995.
That's right.
We were actually 3 years old when it was built.
30. Yeah, we're youngins, guys. Yeah,
we're only 27, guys.
We're only 27, so you know, we're part of that millennial no good generation, as some would say, but. We like to think of ourselves other ways, but, yeah. So yes, you are correct. The Denver International Airport was built in 1995. Mm-hmm. Why was it built? Do you know?
Tell me.
I don't know either. No, I'm just kidding. There was, it's interesting that it was built though. And that's part of the conspiracy is because Denver, before the DIA was built, had a fully functioning airport, had, it was the right size. Like, it wasn't being outgrown, you know, Denver's growing like crazy. So, I guess it's kind of a good thing that they built it. But at that time, the projection and stuff, from my understanding, is that the airport that existed there was fully functioning, was adequate for the size of the city, was adequate for the travel in and out of the that airport. So,
quick question: did they knock down the old airport and rebuild, or this is like a totally different location?
Totally different location, and that's part of the conspiracy as well, because the location of DIA is 25 miles away from Denver. It's not even close to downtown. It's not close to any place that would
That's
go.
So weird.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. And you have to ask yourself, like, well, why did they build it so far away? There were plenty of spaces. There's plenty of space to build it closer to Denver. Before we go on, guys, I want to mention that, you know, we joined the Daily Renegade, and the Daily Renegade is a platform that Josh Peck is developing for different shows to host their interview shows or their radio talk shows, like the Z Files with Jason and Lauren. And then, you know, Ryan Peterson is going to be joining, Gary Wayne. I mean, you guys know all about this stuff, but he is developing this website for us to be able to talk about information that we have. So like the video we did last week was actually demonetized and shadow banned. And so it got taken down from YouTube. And so
you guys, we're being silenced, and like these things, you know, we're not being able to explore and allowing our minds to be free to really like
think how we want.
Think how we want.
Yep.
And so they're trying to silence us. And so Josh has come up with this platform that's going to be so amazing for people to really be able to learn more about these kinds of topics. And
So if you want to see last week's video and all of our live videos after they're gone live, they'll be pulled off of YouTube and they'll be put on his website. And you can become a member because of the censorship. We have to offer it like this. So for $10 a month or $100 a year, you get all the content you want, from articles to exclusive videos that aren't put on YouTube by all of us that are hosting shows on there. You get exclusive access to a message board where you can chat with us personally, and we're on there and we have conversations. It's a great way to fellowship as a church. It's a great way to fellowship as a family of believers in Christ. And so make sure that you guys consider becoming a member, because
you can't see last week's episode unless you're a member.
You can't see last, and it's actually going to tie into this week's episode in a weird way. So if you guys missed out last week, we talked about something very conspiratorial, and we'll get into that here in a little bit. But yeah, consider becoming a member. Also subscribe and share, guys. It's we want this information to get out. We want people to understand what's going on beneath our earth. And the more research you do into it, the crazier it gets, man. Our flat earth, gosh, as she would say. Don't get that conversation started. You're going to get some haters on there.
I know. I'm just kidding, you guys. I'm a flat earther.
Oh, man, Colleen, I love that guy. That's funny. So with that being said, we're going to get back into DIA. We were talking a little bit about the location of the Denver International Airport and how it's located.
Wait, real quick. If someone wants to become a member, how do they become a member?
Oh, yes. You can click on the link below where it says become a member. Okay. And it'll take you there and you can, it's super easy and it's totally worth it, guys. So I encourage you guys to do that. So,
back to it. They decide they don't need the old airport. They want a new one.
Yep. They didn't tear down the old one from my understanding. I don't know if it's still in commission, if it's still used. I probably should have looked into that, but I'm sorry I didn't. I was focused on the current international airport. But like I was saying, it's located 25 miles away. It was completed in 1995. So, you know, it's how many years is that? 24 years? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That's old. So it was completed in 1995, which was actually a year behind schedule, and it went $2 billion over budget.
$2 billion. Do you know what I could do with $2 billion?
Yeah, you know someone was pissed because it went over $2 billion.
Well, you know, that's yeah. kind of like what like your profession
right.
feels.
Yeah, so as an engineer, I designed bridges in particular. And if we go over budget, like our clients, they don't want anything to do with us from that point because there's just loss of trust. And so that feeds into the conspiracy. Well, why did it go $2 billion over budget? Did the engineers, did the contractors, did all these people that they didn't know like that it was going to cost that much? And so that feeds into, well, there has to be something else there that we're not aware of, right?
It's not even just like $2 million. It's like
$2 billion. That's a lot of money. That's freaking 90 behind the two.
Wait, like, and hold on. The crazy thing about it is it's like the whole project didn't cost $2 billion. It went $2 billion
right.
over.
Right, so it cost almost $5 billion total. And that was $2 billion over its projected price. And so, you know, that
Colleen, yes, government must have been involved.
Oh, geez. Don't even get me started, man. But it's interesting because you look at it, and you're like, gosh, that's a lot of money to be over, you know. And, you know, you could see $1 million maybe for that size of a project, but $2 billion, like, oh, man, that's just nuts to me. So, completed in 1995, a year behind schedule, $2 billion over budget.
Yeah.
And so how big was it? How big is it?
I remember.
Okay.
Twice the size of Manhattan.
It is twice the size of Manhattan. That's right. Yeah. It is 55 square miles of land. And that is a massive airport. Yeah. That's basically, well, two times the size of Manhattan. That's the size of a city itself. And it's just an airport, you know? So,
and two times that.
Right. Right.
Holy man.
Yeah. So, and it's reportedly that big. And, that's just the surface area that we know of. That's not including anything that's underground, which we're going to get into here in a little bit. So we're just giving you guys some history about the Denver International Airport and giving you some weird things that happened during its construction and stuff like that. So, so what are some other weird things about the Denver International Airport?
Well, from what I hear, I was just telling Seth, I've never been in the Denver airport. I have had a layover, but it was like no plane change. So I just stayed in the plane. I didn't like get out.
Right.
But I hear that there are some really weird like statues and paintings.
Yep.
And so maybe we can delve into that a little bit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that was whenever you search DIA, like if you go to Google and you just search Denver International Airport, the first things that you're probably going to see are the weird art and the weird statues that are located around DIA. And to my understanding, I think a lot of these have been removed. But to give you guys a few examples, and I should have done OSB so you guys could see these, but you can go to Google and look them up. The first one is a statue that's outside the front of DIA. And it is of a 32-foot blue Mustang horse that's reared up on its back legs, kind of doing this thing. You know, you've seen it in the movies, how the horses get up on their hind legs and do that. The peculiar thing.
That's like the Broncos symbol, right?
Yeah. It looks like the Broncos mascot.
Right.
So the peculiar thing about this statue, however, one, it's painted blue. Two, it has fiery red eyes. Like these things are, they're bright, they're painted bright red. And so they just pop. And it's gotten the nickname from that Blucifer. So Blucifer. Yeah, that's just that's a weird name. You know, if any of you guys have watched Josh Peck interview with, I'm forgetting him. The guy that he just interviewed recently, they were talking about Lucifer and stuff like that. So, it has a peculiar name, but another interesting fact about this statue is that the sculptor actually died while making the sculpture. So he was forming this thing out of metal, and for some reason, like the head fell off its crane or something. He actually lived here in New Mexico.
His head fell off the crane?
No, horse's head fell off the crane. Oh, yes, this guy was being pinned up by this crane.
You never know.
Yeah.
He was from New Mexico? Is that what you said?
Huh?
You said he was from New Mexico?
Yeah, he was making at his house in Santa Fe. And this thing fell off a crane, crushed his leg, and like severed an artery, and he died. Okay. Weird coincidence. Okay.
Evan said Taos, New Mexico, and that area have the hum. It emanates from underground.
Yes. Oh yeah. And we're going to get into that a little bit more.
Cause I have no idea what that means.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about that. That's the first statue that's kind of weird. The second statue that you'll find.
This thing is blue.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking it up right now. I don't know if you guys can see it, but.
Oh, yeah. It's probably too bright.
It's too bright.
Oh, see, there you go. Kind of. You can see the blueness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's super blue with fiery red eyes. So it's really interesting. The other statue that's weird is, I think it's called the Gargoyle statue. And it is a statue of a demon coming out of a suitcase.
What?
Okay, and this thing is in Denver International Airport. There's little kids going by. It's a creepy looking statue. Mm-hmm. It's got a weird face.
Didn't we talk about gargoyles? When did we talk about that? I felt like we had talked about that recently, about gargoyles.
Well, we did. We were having a private conversation about Freemasonry and how they made all of the cathedrals.
Because I was asking you.
Oh, that's an interesting tie to this, though. And we'll get into that in a second. But
okay, because I was thinking about like Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I was like, wasn't he a gargoyle?
Yeah, no, you worked at Notre Dame Cathedral. But yes, Michael, that's right, Notre Dame. I've seen it kind of spooky a little. Yes, Pyramid 7.
Yeah,
absolutely. Scary. It is super creepy. And it's weird that they would have this in a public place where little kids are going by, you know. And that's the crazy thing about all this art. So we got those two statues. You can go to Google and look them up. They'll probably be the first thing that you see if you type in DIA art. Now we want to move into some of the like paintings. And so there were a few murals that were very controversial when the airport opened and even into the early 2000s.
I know
and
one of them.
2000s. Okay, go with that one.
Which one? It's the one where it's like the Nazi officer and he has the it's like a machete.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the little kids that are sitting at the bottom, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so there was a couple of, sorry guys,
our two-year-old
is up again. Yeah. So these murals, there were a few of them that had Nazi looking troops in them.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, like the one Brittany just said, but there was another one with a, these Nazis, they had like gas masks on, like the typical ones that you would see in like the movies or something. You know what it reminds me of? What was that cartoon that had those? Is it The Secret of Nim or something like that?
The cartoon's called The Secret of Nim?
Yeah, maybe not.
It had gargoyle.
It had the people with the masks in, and they had like those weird reflective eye goggles
on. If it wasn't on TBN, I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, so this mural has this Nazi looking, and they're not like, they don't have like the swastika on their arm or anything.
The
but,
first thing that you think of though when you see it, I'm sorry, it looks like
German Nazi troops. Yeah, German troops. Exactly. And so this one has like a Nazi spraying
You know what gives it away?
A machine gun. What's that?
It's their hats. It's like their hats are the same like style as like
a Nazi hat. Yeah.
That's what I feel like gives it away.
But go and look it up, guys. It's really creepy. It's weird. The other thing that's weird about this artwork is that there's little kids involved, like little kids dying in fires, like little kids standing outside burning buildings, just watching in horror as the buildings burning. It's like, it's super creepy and dark. And,
And there's like a mom with like a baby crying.
Yeah.
And then a white dove.
Yeah. So this artwork caught a lot of attention, as you can imagine, when it opened. And if you go and watch some of the news clips of them asking the people like, well, why is this art here? Why is it so dark? And they just go, it's like an expression of the artist, you know, given all this stuff. But as we'll talk about next, there's a purpose behind art. There's a purpose. Always an agenda with art. And you talk to any artist, they have a goal, they have a way that their art wants to be interpreted. And so when you think about it from that aspect, there's a purpose for this art. So the last piece of artwork that I want to talk about is the dedication monument. What was peculiar about the dedication monument?
Well, it was funded by the New World Commission or something.
Airport Commission. So on this plaque, you can also go to Google and look this up. This dedication plaque says that a lot of the funding for the airport came from this non-existent entity called the New World Airport Commission. Okay. And I mean, you're talking about $5 billion. That has to be a sizable chunk of money. But this, this funding or this entity doesn't exist anywhere. Like from what I could find, there was no trace evidence of this company existing or this organization existing. And so it's just really weird. But the other peculiar thing about this, which is ties back into the gargoyle gothic kind of look, is there was a square and compass on the dedication monument. So guess who else is funding it?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
The Masons.
That's right. And if you guys have done any research into the Freemasons, that's a whole show on itself. And we'll end up doing one of those these days. But all that to say is the funding came from the Freemasons, and, you know, they put their trademark on the capstone of the airport itself. It's dedicated to the god of Freemasonry, which is Lucifer, is Satan, is Hillel, whatever you want to call this demonic entity. So it's peculiar in that way. Going forward, what is the big hullabaloo all about? Like, how did this come up? Why are people so interested? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's just funny. It just made me think of the Jungle Book.
Yeah, that's where I got it from. But it's an interesting why. Like, why the Denver International Airport? How did this even gain traction other than the artwork and stuff, which, you know, any passerby could say, okay, that's fine. So where did all this come from?
I'm not sure, but something that I just kind of thought of is like, I wonder why, like, there's so much, because we live in New Mexico, land of entrapment, right?
Yeah.
And there's like a ton of witchcraft here that's done. And so I'm just curious why things like this happen, like closer towards like Mexico and like in these, I feel like very dominant Native American, like rich culture.
Yeah.
Does that ever like make you think or like turn your wheels? Because I feel like a lot of stuff like that happens. Because we know that a lot of Mexican and Native American people were really, really heavy into curandera, into
shamanism.
Yeah. So just a thought that came to my head.
Yes, Scotty, the Four Corners area. And, you know, Tom Horn and Chris Putnam wrote a book called Exo Vaticana. And the reason I bring this book up is it's tying into your question about, you know, why does so much stuff happen in the Southwest and, and things like that? You know, Phoenix, you know, just, I think it was in 1995 actually, or 1997. I can't remember, but they had a triangular UFO flying over Phoenix for, you know, and millions of people saw it. The mayor of Phoenix saw it. So why does all that stuff happen? But Tom Horn and Chris Putnam wrote a book called Exo Vaticana. If you guys haven't read that book, please go read it. It is so good. Yeah. It's like 600 pages long, but it's jam-packed full of information pertaining to exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, it was
but
so
how
good.
They tie it. Oh, yes, you didn't even read
Seth
it.
Seth read it, and then he gave me the synopsis.
Yeah. The interesting thing that they bring up is they travel down to Mount Graham, which is in outside Tucson, Arizona. Okay. But they explore the idea that there are sacred mountains and sacred ground and places on the earth where the portal to the other dimensions is thinner in a quantum, you know, from a quantum standpoint than other places in the earth.
They have a documentary too, though, that we watched. Remember?
They do?
Yeah. I thought they had the documentary of like the portal holes and we watched it at your parents. Yeah. There's a documentary.
Okay. Well, go look for that. I can't recall that at the moment. Okay. Yes. She's probably right. She has a way better memory than I do. So, but anyways, they bring that up because, and the reason that they give, like why there's so much activity kind of down here in the Southwest is because of that. Like we got Sedona, Arizona, you know, like one of the new age hotspots in the entire world, because a lot of spiritual activity happens down here because that veil, if you will, between those dimensions and our physical realm is thinner and easier for the spirits to get in or what, however.
Yeah. Do you remember that they, it's in that really famous ruins area where it's in the mountain and they were talking about, they were talking about how the giants of the land.
Yes. That's okay. I remember now. That's the Unearthing the Cloud Eaters documentary that Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, Timothy Alberino, they were releasing, and they came down to the Southwest to Chaco Canyon to some of these Native American tribes where there was weird stuff happening. And so they did that. Where were we heading next?
We're just talking
about was the big hullabaloo, right?
Why?
Why is Denver International Airport so conspiratorial? Okay, well, it begins with a guy named Phil Schneider.
You guys hear our two-year-old breathing right here? I'm going to go put him back.
He's breathing very heavily, yes.
Okay, you tell the viewers all
Okay, so it started with a guy named Phil Schneider. And if you guys have done any sort of research into reptilians, aliens, and to grays, tall and short, this guy's name has probably come up because he has been, he was a huge, almost like Max, same type of guy as like Max Spears. So he was exposing a lot of stuff that he was involved with supposedly, and he was killed for it. So getting into Phil Schneider, the reason that Denver International Airport kind of gained traction is because Phil Schneider kind of exposed it for what it is. And so Phil Schneider was a geologist, alleged geologist, structural engineer who worked his way up in those fields and gained government clearance, high level government clearance to work on what he calls, or I guess what the government calls, deep underground military bases or DUMs. Yep, that's right, Colleen. Duns. And so he supposedly worked on numerous deep underground military bases, including ones at Area 51 in Nevada, Dulce, New Mexico. He worked on the one at Denver International Airport. And so he comes out and exposes these deep underground cities is what they are, really, because and what they're doing there. So he and he has a very interesting story. So I want to kind of back up and go through some of his history, because this is how it ties into last week's. Remember, I brought that up earlier. Phil Schneider's dad. Gosh, and I can't remember his name. It starts with an O. It's like Oscar Schneider or something like that. His dad was born in Germany. He was a Nazi U-boat captain, one of the best. Like, he, by the age of 14, I think I remember hearing, he was like one of the top mechanics in Nazi Germany, in the Third Reich. And so he was revered by the Third Reich very, very highly. And so he... at that point, or as he advanced in his career, he had sunk numerous Allied ships in his U-boat. And so he was gaining rank in the Nazi party. He was captured by the Allies, and then he was brought to America to work on the Philadelphia experiment. And it's very interesting because last week we talked about Operation Paperclip, how the U.S. government brought Nazi scientists to America to continue their work that they were doing in the occult, essentially, in America. And so what we see is that before Operation Paperclip even started, which was in 1946, this guy, Phil Schneider's dad, was brought to America in 1941, I think was the date, and started working on things such as the Philadelphia Experiment. And if you guys don't know what the Philadelphia Experiment is, it was a government project to develop cloaking for battleships. So, like they were experiencing through people like Schneider, their ships were being sunk by these U-boats, by whatever else weapons that the Germans had. And so they were trying to develop cloaking. And if you guys go research the Philadelphia Experiment or watch the movie, they released a movie on it, the ship supposedly like teleported. And through electromagnetic forces and quantum entanglement and all those things, Einstein was actually working a little bit with the Philadelphia Experiment with the government in this aspect. But the ship supposedly like teleported, and that's a whole nother conspiracy, which we'll probably do another show on. But it's interesting because this ties back into last week with bringing Nazi scientists and commanders and people, yes, to America in Operation Paperclip. And this was happening before the official operation even began. So it's interesting that Phil Schneider has a tie to Operation Paperclip through his dad. Take that for what it is. Mm-hmm. Take that as with a grain of salt, let that sink in. But I kind of wanted to give that background because it lends a little bit more maybe to why Phil Schneider's claiming what he claimed and things like that. So going back to Phil Schneider, he claimed that there was 131 bases, deep underground military bases, or DUMs, as Colleen said earlier, in the United States. And this was back in 1996. Gosh, sorry guys.
You guys are,
if you can hear our two-year-old, I apologize.
It's so weird though, let me tell you guys, like, this real life, Seth and I, we live totally exposed. When it's Thursdays, we always get attacked on Thursdays. Yeah. Like, it's just the most bizarre thing. Like, last week we got an argument. This week Jakin is like flipping out on his crib. Like, so anyways, yeah. Thank you for bearing with us, guys. This is the reality of having kids. So.
Yep. Yeah. So, like I was saying,
real quick, I want to just touch because somebody brought up, Michael Ray. He said, aren't the Rothschilds involved in the Denver airport somehow? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I didn't look that deep into like specific ties to the airport, but the reason why I could say there probably are in some way, and we'll get into this in a little bit, but the reason why I would say that is because of the square and compass that's on the dedication temple, or on the dedication monument. You know, the Freemasons, and we'll do a whole show on the Freemason and Freemasonry because it's very interesting. But ultimately, you know, they have an agenda. The Illuminati infiltrated Freemasonry to hide what they were doing, to make it seem like they were reaching some sort of enlightenment in Freemasonry. But we'll get into that more when we do that show. But that's the reason I could see a tie there. But I don't know if they are directly related. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in a second because of what the Bible says about deep underground military bases. That might be a bold statement, but we'll see here in a second why I think they might be related and why the Bible might mention that. So, gosh, back in 1995, 96, when Phil Schneider was starting to come public. So Phil Schneider was actually involved in this type of conspiracy work for a while. And it's interesting because he tells some crazy stories. Like the most crazy one that he tells is the one that occurred in Dulce, New Mexico, which is basically Los Alamos Labs. And I have some friends that work in Los Alamos Labs. She has a cousin that works at Los Alamos Labs. And so this hits really close to home. But he tells a story of how they were building one of these deep underground military bases. And one day, he ran across a tall grate, he called it. And if you guys have ever seen Star Wars Attack of the Clones, the beings, those tall white alien looking lizard things that are building the clone army, are essentially how he described these beings to look. And so they were, he claims that he ran across one of these and that there was a war going on. They got involved in a war with these grays. And so he tells that there were 66 gray and black berets who were killed during this war. And he also claims that when he ran across this gray, he actually saw it in person. He was attacked by this gray, lost three of his fingers, he said his foot was fried. I don't know particularly what that means, but if you look at pictures of Phil, he is missing three fingers. Take that for what it's worth. But he tells some crazy stories like that about running across these grays. Another story that I remember that one of his friends was telling an interviewer that I listened to today was that Phil was invited to a secret United Nations meeting, which wasn't held in New York City or any of their offices. It was held at one of these deep underground military bases. And he went down into the meeting place where they have these meetings. And it was situated where there were a bunch of, it was two levels, or kind of, it was one level, but then there was like a balcony that kind of went around the front of the room. And so he said that him and everybody else, all the humans that were in the, you know, in the base or invited to this meeting or whatever, went in and sat down. And then someone announced that the other people were coming. And so Phil was like, the first time he was like, what the heck? And lo and behold, these gray talls start coming out in the balcony and taking their seats. And they were the ones running these meetings. They were the ones dictating what would be held at the next United Nations General Assembly or whatever. And so it's just, there's some crazy stuff that he was saying that he was involved with. Yeah, it was weird. It's weird. And, the more you look into this, it gets very, very fascinating. If you guys are interested in hearing more, I just did an interview with a guy named Darren Geisinger. Gosh, I asked him last night too how I pronounce his name, but we talk at length about these beings, about Steve Quayle. There was a guy that came out and told Steve Quayle that there are the same number of entities, like humanoid entities, whether they be these gray aliens or whatever, reptilians, as there are species of insect. So you think about cockroaches, dung beetles, like millions.
So where do they live?
And this, a lot of them live underground. A lot of them are interdimensional. Like if you guys also look into the Fall Brothers, they released a video called The Hollow Earth Chronicles. They go into a lot of this stuff. And it's interesting because even you start looking into like Admiral Byrd and you start looking into Hitler himself and Himmler, who was in charge of the SS troops in German, Nazi Germany. What were they trying to do? They were trying to access Shambhala, which is this underground city where the god men live.
And yeah, Admiral, you've told me this. About
yeah,
this
Admiral before. Byrd, if you read his diaries, actually visited this place by flying over the North Pole. He like went through some portal or something. And wait, this
okay, is so is that the book Beneath the Ice?
Yeah, it, okay. Yeah. It's Steve Quayle documents a lot of this in his book Empire Beneath the Ice. But you can also check out Admiral Byrd's journal because he journaled all of this stuff. And so take it for what it's worth. I mean, and when we're talking about a hollow earth, we're not talking about this shell that has like a vacant, you know, inside. It's not like a hollow ball or something. It's like there are these very vast caverns and stuff like that under inside the earth that can house millions of people. And the evidence suggests that that's true. And, you know, with what's going on at CERN, with breaking open particles and opening wormholes and all this stuff that they're actually doing and being successful at, I could see more and more of this stuff coming about. So all that to say is that Phil Schneider, the one...
They are all dung beetles. Evil toiletries of the internet.
Yeah, so
you're so funny, Colleen.
Yes. So Phil Schneider, he supposedly worked on a lot of these. He talks a lot about what goes on in these bases, like these aliens. If you start looking into child abductions and things like UFO abductions, a lot of these researchers that get into this area say that a lot of these people are abducted to go feed these types of entities. And it's super fascinating the more you get into it. What's beneath the Denver airport? That's the title of our thing. And so what's beneath there is, one of the things that happened while they were constructing the international airport was what I told you, or maybe I didn't.
No,
tell
you didn't tell me. Okay. Something that happened when they were constructing it.
Yep.
No, you didn't tell me.
Okay. So this is fascinating and weird from an engineering standpoint. So, they had built 5 buildings completely done. They decided for some reason that these buildings weren't like up to code and like they had these problems with them. So they buried them.
They buried the
buildings? Yes, completely buried these buildings underneath the Denver airport.
Okay,
so there is a freaking city underneath the Denver airport. There is reportedly, and the news, once the kind of the Phil Schneider stuff happened and all this, news channels got a hold of it, got wind of it, and like asked to be taken down there. And so you can actually go to YouTube and look up some of this stuff, but you can go and see where these news anchors, these interviewers were down in the tunnels of beneath the Denver airport. And these tunnels are like 60 feet wide. It's like a highway down there, connecting all these various terminals.
You're an engineer, so yeah. You can explain this to me. I'm so confused on how they buried the building.
Yeah. So you can jack up buildings using hydraulic jacks. Another way to do it is to liquefy and have it just settle and sink slowly. And then put fill over it. It's crazy stuff.
Okay, so is that a conspiracy or like, I mean, that's known.
From what I saw is that that is kind of, that's just a known thing. There were a couple people's who did videos on it who mentioned it. I didn't see blueprints. I got to say that. I didn't see engineering drawings or anything for that. So
Colleen said Anthony Peck feels like CERN is trying to bring through Nimrod.
Oh yes. Oh yeah, for sure. At least entities. Nimrod maybe being one of them. Who knows?
But saved sinner, I love your comment. Even dung beetles serve a purpose in our father's kingdom.
That's right. They annoy us. Just kidding. but so that from an engineering standpoint, that's weird because if this is true, these buildings were completely done and then buried. Like when I'm going through a design or when a bridge is being constructed or something, the contractor is going to catch something midway, bring it to the designer's attention and make a change to fix it then. They don't wait till the bridge is done and be like, hey, we used the wrong rebar in the bridge deck. I hope that's okay. If not, then we're just going to, we're going to bury the bridge and build a new one over it. No, that doesn't happen. Like, it, to me, that means that this was intentional, that they were trying to do that. And again, going back to the whole budget thing, this is maybe a reason why it was
$5 billion.
Budget, because, you know, they built a lot of stuff that
they
eventually just buried. So that's interesting in and of itself. Another thing about the Denver International Airport is there is miles upon miles upon miles upon miles of underground tunnels beneath there. And
so, do we know this for a fact, or that's something
that's... No, that's a fact.
Okay.
There is miles of tunnels, and supposedly they are used for luggage transfer to different terminals and stuff like this, but that seems like a cop out for what's really going on, because you know, luggage, you go to any other airport really, and it's transferred on conveyor belts, right?
Yeah.
It's transferred to different terminals using that, and conveyor belts have been used for years. And so it's interesting that those tunnels even exist, and they can be used for maintenance and things like that. But to explain it away that it, for them being so big, like, I don't understand. So,
Chris wants to know about the what do we know about the flat earth theory? He's asked a couple of times.
Oh,
so maybe
gosh,
he can go back and watch our video. Is he allowed to do that, or do we have that video?
That video is still up on my personal
Facebook
YouTube channel,
Apollineering.
And we did an interview with Mark Sargent on the hollow earth, which was fascinating. So yeah, go back and check that out. The flat earth theory, just a couple things on that is, where are you starting from? Do you start from the biblical cosmology? Because the Jewish cosmology was flat earth. The Bible describes a flat earth, but the Bible is also never intended to be a science book. So I'm just going to leave it at that. You can go do some more research on that. The tunnels,
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, I want to know, tunnels as in I can drive a car through tunnel?
Tunnels as in it's a highway. Like you can literally get four lanes of traffic.
No.
Yes. Go watch the video of the news anchors down there. It's crazy how big those tunnels are.
The news anchors are down there?
Yeah. They take them down there to explain away all the conspiracies.
From a world down under. That's the song I'm thinking of?
No.
Oh.
I just laugh. So there's a ton of miles of tunnels underneath there. And
Chris, it's Apollineering.
Yes, Apollineering. You know, before I joined Josh, that's how I was doing my videos. And one of these days, Josh is going to have us on. Come on, Josh, where are you at, dude?
Josh.
No, I'm just kidding. Be praying for him, guys. Nathan is, he's getting there. They're the Lord is doing great things in there. Mm-hmm. And so be praying for them. But there's these tunnels and they connect, man, what's even more crazy is another video I was watching today shows the tunneling system. And this kind of lends into this. And it's interesting because the company I work for is actually working on this right now called the Hyperloop. And this is a underground, almost like a subway, but it's a magnetic levitated train that travels at supersonic speeds. I think Tokyo actually has one already. I could be wrong about that, but there was a map that the guy showed of the tunneling system connecting various cities in the Southwest. So you have one from like Area 51 down to Las Vegas, which connects to like the Four Corners area, Los Alamos and that, to Albuquerque, to the Manzano Mountains, to Tucson area.
Of course, the Manzano Mountains.
Yeah.
They have that underground base.
Yeah, they do have an underground base here in Albuquerque, in the Manzano Mountains, just, you know, 10 miles from our house. And so it's creepy, and it hits close to home, some of this stuff, because you wonder, like, what is really going on down there? Why do they need to be underground? You know, you know, in the Manzano Mountains, what I've heard, and this may be as well, but this is where they stored nuclear missiles for a long time, because if someone's going to attack you, you can hide these deep under the ground and they'd be safe from explosion.
That's why everyone and their mom has cancer now.
You know, there might be some
truth
to that, and why we experience so many chemtrails and geoengineering here. That's what's going on underneath the Denver International Airport. There's cities, there's buildings, there's tunnels, and that's only what we know. And so,
Could you imagine all the things that we don't like?
Yeah. And so that's kind of where I want to head next, is like, what's the big deal? You know, like, why do we care? Why would we care if there was these deep underground bases, you know? For one, it's super interesting that if Phil is telling the truth about, you know, the alien, the entities that are living down there and working and operating, developing technology, vaccines, medicine, nanotechnology, all this stuff, it'd be fascinating to learn that. Just from that aspect, I mean, just disclosure, you know, of these entities actually existing would be
nuts. I just
want
to see a shapeshifter.
Stay tuned for my interview with Carrie, who was an ex-Satanist who actually witnessed shapeshifting in person. So, but that's beside the point. So yes, but some of these aliens can shapeshift. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's these crazy conspiracy videos about, you know, like Oprah's eyes changing to this reptilian look and stuff like that. Lady, so I don't think that's real. I think that's different information to make the claim that these reptilian entities exist look crazy. But they've done a great job, because you bring that up and you're like, oh, you're a lunatic, you know? So
I do just want to apologize, guys. We do this show at like 9 o'clock. And so for some reason, I always get a case of the yawns. Like,
that's okay.
So I try to hide them.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. So the last thing I want to hit on, though, is, and I brought this up earlier, the Bible actually might say something about dumbs. And I'm not talking about dumb people. talking about deep underground military bases, okay? And where do you think that the Bible would mention such a thing?
Well, I feel like most of the things that we find where God is going to be telling us about the future life is going to be usually in Revelation.
Yep.
You the revelation of our life.
You are absolutely correct. And so I'm going to read a passage for you guys.
Should we bring some clarity to the fact that it's Revelation and not yes. Revelation?
Oh, that annoys me to no end, everybody. If you're ever talking about the book of Revelation, it's not plural. John had one revelation, okay? And
numero uno.
It was this one revelation that he wrote down. So it's not a plural. It's the book of Revelation. Okay, so we're turning to the book of Revelation now, and
if
we
you
will
don't know
be,
where that is. It's the last book.
Yep.
Of the Holy
if you
Word.
Hit the if you hit the index, hang a left, as Billy Crone would say, which I love. So turn to the sixth chapter, verse 15. Okay, and just to give you a little bit of context here, the sixth chapter. John has been taken up to heaven, and he has experienced the throne room. He sees Jesus, the Lamb, and the Lamb has taken the scroll from the Father, and he's about to start opening the seals. Okay, so chapter 6 outlines the seal judgments upon the earth from God. Okay, and so this is at the end of chapter 6, so we've already opened. Let's see, where are we? What seal are we on here? We're on the sixth seal. So a bunch of judgment has already happened upon the earth. And so in verse 15, we read, then the king. So then after all these seals had been released, you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, what else happens? Let's see. I heard of the four seal, a pale horse, and its riders was death and Hades. So the four horsemen, the sixth seal. I looked and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became a sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth. So there's crazy stuff happening. So after all this crazy stuff happens, it says, then the kings of the earth. So presidents, the pop, you know, the high ranking officials, the Illuminati, whoever it may be, of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful. So Hollywood elites, all these people that are in the clique, and everyone, slave and free. So everyone on the earth, that's what it says, hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?
Wow.
That is, so when you're, the reason that we wanted to talk about this, guys, was because the development of these deep underground military bases may be confirmed in Revelation chapter 6, because this may be the places that the kings, the great ones, the generals, the rich and powerful, and everyone slave and free, this might be the place that they hide themselves from God.
Wow.
Who then ask that these military bases, these caves in the mountains, as he calls them, they ask for that stuff to fall on them and kill them, because the wrath is too great for them to handle. So tying it to eschatology, tying it to prophecy is interesting. It may give validity to the claims of Phil Schneider. It may not verify everything that he's claimed. You know, it may not verify his story or anything like that. But it is interesting when you're talking about where these elite people are going to hide once the sealed judgments happen.
This is why I'm a pre-tribulation rapture kind of person.
Yep, that's me too. Yeah, we do ascribe to pre-tribulation, pre-millennial rapture. And maybe we'll do a Conspiracy Theory Thursday on that. But so we wanted to bring this to your guys' attention for that reason. Mm-hmm. The Bible brings up something along those lines where people are hiding and keeping secrets. And we talked about...
we do know that no man can hide.
That's right.
The power and glory of the all-knowing, almighty Yahweh himself. And so, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And so we talked a little bit earlier in Psalm 82. We start every Conspiracy Theory Thursday with that, because the kings, the same terminology that Psalm 2 uses is used in Revelation. The kings, the generals, they're plotting in vain, or conspiring, or meditating day and night on how to overtake the Lord, how to overtake his anointed, which also ties right into prophecy, because we see later in Revelation that the Antichrist, that his minions are killing Christians, right? We even see in one of the seals that there's souls beneath the altar crying for vengeance from the Lord for their lives being taken. So we wanted to bring that to your guys' attention and just give you some information on the Denver International Airport. You guys can go do your own research. That's what this show is particularly about. We're not going to present every detail to you in the hour that we're here, but we want to give you a good starting place and give you topics maybe to go research for yourselves and develop your own opinions. And that's one of the great things about our country currently. You know, we're being censored on YouTube right now, but we're still able to have these conversations. We're still able to talk about this. And so the more that we can get this stuff out, the more impact that we're going to make in this world. And so, man, if you guys have comments, if you guys have questions, please submit them. We would love topic ideas. If you guys if you guys have conspiracy ideas, please go to our Facebook, our Instagram pages. Check us out. They're in the description below. DM us. We want to have a conversation with you guys. We want to keep up with you guys. We'd love to hear your ideas for Conspiracy Theory Thursdays. Yeah. And so I think that about wraps this night up.
Yeah.
And
so Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, cool. Well, we hope that you guys have a wonderful night. And as always, we pray that God would bless you guys and keep you guys and make his face to shine upon you all the days of your life.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. And just again, remember to consider becoming a member. This video is not going to be up on YouTube in about 30 seconds. And the only way you'll be able to catch this information again is to go and become a member at the Daily Renegade. And that can be seen in the link below. Subscribe and share. We love you guys. We'll catch you guys next
week. Bye, guys.